Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Doug, welcome back. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year. It's the first time we spoke since then, so all the best to you.
Well, Doug, thank you. And I've, over the years, you know, had some people that I helped with a campaign one way or another. We're pretty close. And when you lose an election for something like this, it is a very, very difficult thing to deal with. So thank you for coming on to talk about that, but more what happened here and how are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing okay. And obviously, yesterday was a bit bittersweet since we had, you know, fought and worked so hard for that day. But I had an article, as you know, published in the Epoch Times today, and the whole purpose of the article is, this is what we learned. Here's what went right. Here's what went wrong. And how do we win elections in the future? Because obviously, after a defeat, there's a blame game. A lot of what I hear being kicked around isn't you know, factually accurate. So I just wanted to really just put it out there and what I think we need to do to win races in the future. And some of it's a hard lesson. You know, and I mentioned, you know, no excuse mail-in voting. Look, brother, I didn't embrace that, obviously, during the campaign. We probably should have used it, as the Democrats have, because I don't see how we win elections without embracing that idea. And once we get a governor and a General Assembly that's Republican, you know, restored to a voting day instead of voting season. The fact that I say that in this article, and I've mentioned it briefly before, it offends Republicans, and I get it. You know, it's icky, but if we want to win, we're going to operate within the law.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Doug. And, you know, we still have to fight them day to day on regulations on that and checking on it. But if we don't do mail-in balloting, they were very effective, particularly your opponent, who's a relentless guy with $44 million, $50 million bucks. So we're both in agreement on that. All right, let me ask, though, and I know that, well, you don't know me that well, but I am consistently pro-life. But I don't think you can run statewide in Pennsylvania and say no exceptions to the three big things that were talked about. Dr. Oz lost, and he did say there were exceptions. Have you learned anything on that, someone running for governor, particularly statewide?
Yeah, so I don't buy that. I know that's a conventional wisdom, and if I can make you know, my case, obviously we differ on it. So, you know, Oz was an exception guy. He was the type of moderate Republican that everyone said could only win a statewide race. And as moderate as he was, you know, colluding with Karl Rove and others and running ads that didn't benefit me but reached out to Shapiro, it didn't do him any good, even running against a zombie like Fetterman. And where we lost is two areas regarding that, because one thing I was very clear on the campaign trail is what happens with abortion in Pennsylvania is not up to Governor Mastriano. Obviously, it's going to be up to the people with the General Assembly passing laws. There's nothing you can do unilaterally on that. Where we failed in this area, though, is we had no messaging. You know, Josh Shapiro, and the figures right now, $75 million, of which he spent $70 million of it, unprecedented, almost double the record that Wolf set back 4 years ago, is we had no messaging. You know, every week there was another $1 million of anti-Doug ads, and the RNC had, you know, turned its back on Pennsylvania. The RGA, Republican Governor Association, walked away from us. And so all you had was my own campaign, my own messaging, basically, without any support, correcting the record or pointing out where Josh Shapiro was a flawed candidate. Because if you think about this, he has a terrible record, and you know, you're in the Southeast, a terrible record on crime. He wasn't a very good legislator. But there was no one out there pointing that out other than, you know, what we could do with the grassroots, which was not enough.
Well, Doug, let's stop at that one and drill down on it. I agree with you about that they abandoned and all that, and not enough was done to flesh this guy out. And he's difficult. He's been able to parade with the willing help of the media as a more moderate figure than he is. But your only hope on abortion, well, Dr. Oz, we've talked about, with Fetterman, is to make the case how extreme he was. But I still maintain, Doug, that the information is there. If you are no exceptions on this, that's not going to work here in these suburbs in Philadelphia, no matter, you know, you have a strong base in other parts. If abortion rises, now it might not rise again to this level this time around. It was a little surprising how big it was. If it does, I'm convinced, though, Doug, You can't win on that.
So it'd be really disingenuous. So once again, my personal views on abortion in Pennsylvania is really regardless. It's up to the House and the Senate.
But they know. They're smart enough to know. I know when you said that, if I were advising, they're going to say, well, if we have the governor, though, he'll veto it. They'll never override the veto. If Doug is there, Doug is very, very strong on this. Not only will he not veto it, but he's going to be using whatever powers, executive order, whatever, on top of the legislature, Doug. And it's pretty apparent to me that's what you would do.
Well, I would say look at the facts and my legislative record. Now, granted, it's only a few years old, but the heartbeat bill, you know, is not all exceptions. Because what you have to do, Dom, of course, is we have existing law in Pennsylvania that has the exceptions. And so that can't be changed by a governor. I mean, we have the Abortion Control mm-hmm. Act that came in some years ago. The exceptions are in place. And so I'm on record supporting, of course, the fetal pain bill, you know, no abortions after 15 weeks when a baby can feel the pain, or the heartbeat bill when we can detect the heartbeat. You know, I'm looking for protecting life, you know, in those categories. It became a big issue because, of course, the Supreme Court on the Dobbs case, and Josh Shapiro successfully made it an issue. There's so many other things going on in Pennsylvania that I got to be honest, I thought the economy would trump some of these social issues.
Well, here in the Pennsylvania suburbs, I think we learned a lesson that it doesn't, and Republicans are going to have to take that into account. Now, look, I don't like the people at the top. Tabus, for example, his was non-existent on this, and they're spending $100,000 to figure out what went wrong. You and I have just talked about two of them. But, Doug, your campaign, and look, you were a novice at this, and when I had you on, I thought you were a good guy on this, but a little bit naive about it. You didn't campaign that much in southeastern Pennsylvania. Have you learned from that?
Man, I was there more than any other part of the state, actually, the general election. I mean, my last campaign stop, for instance, was in Montgomery County, not too far from Shapiro's house, and we stopped counting at 1,000 people. I spent, you know, entire weekends in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. in the suburbs and in Philadelphia. I mean, Chester County is supposed to have a meet and greet turned into a rally because 500 showed up on a Saturday morning. I mean, we did a lot of time in the southeast. But, you know, in that regard, it's really difficult to run a campaign basically on your own. Now, let's talk about the campaign. I mean, we set a record, over 2.2 million voters for Mastriano, like 90-some percent on election day. That is more Corbett or Wagner or the great Dick Thornburg or Fisher or Swan. I mean, this is more votes that a Republican gubernatorial candidate has received since 1962, William Scranton, and is the second highest in our state's history. So the grassroots did fantastic. But, you know, the weakness was we won on election day with in-person voting, but we were killed, slaughtered by no-excuse mail-in voting. And that's the lesson learned.
What does Doug Mastriano say we do to ensure, because people are on board, Doug, but what do we do to ensure, what laws or procedures to make mail-in balloting something where they can't connive as much, particularly where I am in Philadelphia? Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, and the first step we had teed up, but sadly with the drama in the House, it looks like that might fail, but a constitutional amendment for voter ID. You know, every time you vote, you have to present an ID. So that would help tighten up the very loose election laws that we have that the Democrats interpret, you know, very generously. So we'd start with voter ID, part one, because that includes no excuse mail-in voting.
Okay. Doug, you know, what do you make of the fact, though, that in a place like you just attributed to mail-in voting that you historically barely won in Lancaster County, Doug? So what happened there?
Well, I mean, there's a couple issues here. Demographically, of course, many of the people are leaving the southeast for the safe, low-tax Republican areas. And for some reason, Dom, I don't get it, when they leave Jersey and elsewhere, they bring their politics with them. It's like, why'd you leave Jersey or Chester County and you're going to bring, you know, vote the same way? So that's number one. Number two was that there's a conservative outlet there that has 100,000 subscribers in the county. For some reason, they kept on, we agree on life and all these other things, but for some reason, I wasn't as perfect of a candidate as they imagined. And so they kept on hitting me and leaning towards libertarian. And so that, that had a bad effect on me.
Now, Doug, with all deference to this, and you're good enough to come on, so let me be as careful as I can to get a good answer from you. You're the guy in this, and I don't detect bitterness, et cetera, here, which I would be bitter. I'm a bitter. I have to admit it. It would be hard to come forward after this kind of defeat. But, Doug, what about, and the media complicit in this, and we know the media is going to be complicit. What about some of the, shall we say, more provocative elements, events that you went to, and the media doing big exposés on that? Would you advise, and if you ran again statewide, would you do that again, or would you say, look, now, you just said on the mail-in ballot, and I'm in agreement with, neither one of us like it, but we get it. We got to beat them at that. Can't just depend on election days. What about some of the connections and groups that in some circles are seen as fine, but more broadly to voters, media is going to run with that and kill you with that?
Yeah, and thank you for phrasing it that way as well. This is a really dumb. I am not bitter. I'm a soldier. I like to learn from mistakes and go right, wrong, and how we can do it better next time. So we have to win. This is no game. I mean, our lives are on the line. Our freedoms are at stake. I just wish, and maybe this is, a naive part of me here. I wish the media would be as severe on the controversial event that Josh Shapiro supports or goes to. I mean, we uncovered that he was part of this drag queen story hour or drag queen, bingo show. No problem, for Josh Shapiro to be talking with these radical groups here with a terrible agenda for our kids. And I just wish the same measure was used on both sides. I speak to lots of groups around the state and have been, you and I began speaking about 3 years ago now, ever since the shutdown. It's seems like a lifetime ago. And I don't know. I mean, that's one thing I don't like about politicians, and I think this is why I received more votes than any Republican gubernatorial candidate in 6 years. I'm just a real deal. I'm not going to change, to get your vote. Here's what I believe, and if you don't like me, then, go with the other guy.
All right, well, to that point, though, Doug, one piece of advice. And look, you've been very gracious. You don't tell me, well, you've been critical of me. How can you give me advice? Why not, Doug, would you change this rather than not taking on the, shall we call it, mainstream media? You have the ability. I saw it during the debates. Why not challenge them more on this? Why not fire back rather than your campaign pretty much avoided a lot of them many times? You could handle them, right?
Oh, yeah, we can. For instance, we did a press conference in Lancaster after one of our rallies, and there's like 10 or 15 media in the room. And I'll note, Josh Shapiro was not transparent or as engaging as his buddies in the media claim. I had media try to track him down at events, and they wouldn't let him in. But so we had this press conference on crime and law and order, and, in my platform, Carrie DeRosa was there speaking as well, and there was not one question on crime because it does not benefit their guy.
But Doug, isn't the approach, the Gingrich approach, just study him more? I know you know it, but I wanted to emphasize it, which is to say, I'm going to answer that question. But first, the question you asked, we're here to talk about this X, Y, and Z, and then Gingrich proceeds to answer. It puts him in short pants, so to speak. Do things like that.
That's sound advice. What's funny, Dom, so there was a drive-by. I was in the Capitol during the general election. Some also senator actually showed up to work, unlike Fetterman, who just showed up one day of work ever since he was running, which I'd be slaughtered in the media for. And so an NBC affiliate was in the Capitol interviewing one of their left-wing buddies, and they came running over to me and my wife and stuck the camera in my face. And I'm like, I'm on my way to a meeting, but I'll talk to you guys for 5 minutes or so. So I answered a bunch of her questions. And the story that night was Mastriano walked away from our cameras. I'm like, are you kidding me? So
I hear you. It's a difficult. We
bizarre.
Know that. But look, the mail-in ballot something is anathema to you and me, but we're willing to compromise because if we don't win, it's going to get worse. Yeah. So, Doug, I guess the last question would be, would you consider a future run? Are you thinking about that?
We're praying about that. We have so why? So we have as much as some might think otherwise. We had this massive turnout, the largest in 60 years, and it's incredible. This movement we have, and it's largely grassroots. we need a new RNC chair, and I'll be reaching out to Harmeet. Already been talking to Mike Lindell and letting them know what I experienced with the RNC. You know, you have the RNC that raised Ronna McDaniel raised $1 billion and squandered $20 million that on gifts and luxury travel and have you. That money should have come to the state. It's my earnest belief as a strategist, I got 2 degrees of strategy, that had $10 million of the $20 million that she spent on luxury travel and Botox came and ran ads against Shapiro, we could have walked away with it. I just nobody knew the dark side of Shapiro, and so it's got to. We need not just the grassroots. That's key and essential, but we need the national organization to pitch in. Last thought is, and I'm not going to do names because I don't want to make it personal. You know, within Pennsylvania, but there's a state PAC in Pennsylvania for conservatives that raises tens of millions of dollars, and they endorse somebody else in the primary, which is fine, but they didn't lift a finger to help us in the general election. And I would say in some ways help Shapiro. I don't know how Republicans, we can win these elections when we're fighting against each other, when we have leaders of the party, you know, jumping in and supporting Shapiro. Like, I'm not going to mention names once again. You know who they are.
Yeah.
Either we're all in or not. I admire the Democrats and their unity and solidarity and how they stick with their guy. Shapiro is not a perfect candidate, neither am I, but they stuck by him through thick and thin, despite all his bad votes and his mishandling of crime in the state. And that kind of unity effort, if we could get only 10% of that, Dom, we'll win the next race.
Doug, thank you very, very much. Thanks for a heart. Anything else you'd like to add? You have the floor. Just anything else Doug Mastriano wants to say?
And thank you for having me on. I'm cognizant. You and I have differed. But when it got to general election, you know, we came together. We need the rest of the state to do that. So, yes, I'm disappointed, as so many people are, that worked so hard for us out there. We can't give up. We lost one battle. The world's not over. We have to persevere. So, please, Republicans, stay in the fight. Run for your county. Be on your Republican county party. We need your voice there. Run for school board, local government. And we'll see what happens in a couple of years when this race is open again.
All right. Well, Doug, thank you. We're always here. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you, sir. God bless you, brother.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.